When David Kelly faced a life-threatening cancer diagnosis in 2007, he confronted the existential question we all eventually face: what was I put on earth to do? His answer, to help people rediscover their natural creativity, became the foundation for this transformative book. Co-written with his brother Tom, Creative Confidence has become a cornerstone text in innovation circles, praised by industry titans from Tom Peters to Tim Brown as a must-read that changes the world. Since its publication, it has influenced countless organizations, from Fortune 500 companies to educational institutions, by challenging the fundamental myth that creativity belongs only to creative types. The Kelly brothers' approach has revolutionized how we think about innovation, not as a magical gift possessed by few, but as a muscle that anyone can strengthen through deliberate practice and the right mindset. Creativity isn't a rare gift bestowed upon a lucky few. It's a natural human capability that belongs to everyone. The widespread belief that people are either born creative or not is simply false. This creativity myth has profound consequences, preventing countless individuals from tapping into their innovative potential and contributing their unique ideas to the world. Drawing from 30 years of innovation work with companies like Apple, Medtronic, and Procter & Gamble, the Kellys define creative confidence as the belief in your ability to create change in the world around you. It's about trusting your capacity to identify new possibilities and having the courage to act on them. This confidence manifests in remarkable ways across diverse fields. Consider the Olympic athlete who improved airline crisis management procedures, the Army captain who rallied support for a pedestrian mall, or the teacher who restructured her curriculum into design challenges. These individuals didn't change careers to become creative professionals, they simply applied creative thinking to their existing roles. People with creative confidence set higher goals and show greater resilience when facing obstacles. They maintain what psychologist Albert Bandura calls self-efficacy, the belief that their actions can make a positive difference. This mindset affects everything from the challenges they take on to how they respond to setbacks. The journey to creative confidence often involves what David Kelly calls flipping, the transformative moment when someone shifts from seeing themselves as non-creative to embracing their creative potential. He witnessed this phenomenon repeatedly while teaching at Stanford, as students from business, engineering, and other non-creative disciplines discovered their innovative capabilities for the first time. This experience inspired the creation of Stanford's D-School, Hasso Plattner Institute of Design, where students from all disciplines collaborate on real-world challenges. Unlike traditional academic departments focused on specialized knowledge, the D-School emphasizes going broad, applying creative thinking across diverse fields and problems. Developing creative confidence requires adopting what psychologist Carol Dweck calls a growth mindset, the belief that your capabilities can expand through effort rather than remaining fixed. With this perspective, failure becomes a stepping stone to learning rather than evidence of inherent limitations. Fear of failure represents the single greatest obstacle to creative confidence. We worry about embarrassment, rejection, or looking foolish, concerns that can paralyze our creative impulses before they ever see daylight. Stanford psychologist Albert Bandura's groundbreaking work on phobias offers valuable insights for overcoming creative fear. His guided mastery approach breaks seemingly impossible challenges into small, manageable steps. In treating snake phobics, Bandura helps patients progress from watching others handle snakes to eventually holding one themselves, all in a single session. The most remarkable finding came during follow-up interviews. Former phobics reported transformative changes in unrelated areas of their lives. Having conquered their deepest fear, they developed broader self-efficacy, the belief in their ability to change situations and accomplish goals. Creative confidence works similarly. By taking small steps that build success experiences, we develop the courage to tackle increasingly challenging creative endeavors. Design thinking facilitates this process by breaking innovation into manageable phases: inspiration, synthesis, ideation/experimentation, and implementation. The myth that creative geniuses rarely fail needs debunking. Research shows that innovators like Mozart, Darwin, and Edison simply conducted more experiments, understanding that early failure is crucial to innovation. Edison's light bulb came after 1,000 unsuccessful attempts, while the Wright brothers conducted hundreds of failed flight trials before succeeding at Kitty Hawk. Modern examples reinforce this pattern. Steelcase's Node chair required over 200 prototypes before reaching its final design. Silicon Valley's success comes not from avoiding failure, but from its approach to constructive failure, learning from mistakes and pivoting quickly. Creating space for experimentation requires giving yourself and others permission to fail. When IDEO worked with entrepreneur Lars Henriks on reinventing European venture capital, they discovered fear of leaving stable jobs was stopping potential entrepreneurs. Their solution was HackFW's Geek Agreement, paying entrepreneurs their current salary for a year while pursuing new ideas. Similarly, VF Corporation created an internal innovation fund allowing managers to take risks while meeting performance targets, resulting in successes like Wrangler jeans adapted for motorcycle riders in India. Labeling new ideas as experiments creates psychological safety for learning without career damage. To learn from failure, you must own it, analyze what went wrong, and plan improvements. Acknowledging mistakes helps you move forward while enhancing your reputation through honesty and humility. Bessemer Venture Partners exemplifies this approach with their anti-portfolio of missed opportunities, including Google, displayed alongside their successes. Innovation doesn't begin with a brilliant idea. It starts with noticing problems worth solving. Creative thinkers develop specific habits that help them move from blank pages to meaningful insights. The first step is simply deciding to be creative. Psychologist Robert Sternberg's 30 years of research reveals that creative people share one trait. They made a conscious choice to approach problems creatively. They redefine challenges, take sensible risks, confront obstacles, tolerate ambiguity, and continue growing intellectually. Jill Levinson exemplifies this choice. After 6 years in advertising, where creatives were a designated group she didn't belong to, she joined Pinterest and began curating content that attracted over 1 million followers. This experience awakened her creative confidence by showing her that creativity isn't about being the sole originator, but about making a meaningful contribution. Adopting a traveler's mindset, seeing familiar environments with fresh eyes, can spark unexpected insights. At Stanford's D School, executives are taken to airports or gas stations to rediscover these everyday environments, often leaving surprised by what they notice for the first time. This beginner's mind helps overcome the blindness that familiarity breeds. Creative people also expose themselves to abundant idea flow from diverse sources. London's Great Ormond Street Hospital demonstrated this cross-pollination by having Ferrari's Formula One pit crew coach their staff on patient handoffs, reducing technical errors by 42% and information errors by 49%. Contrary to popular belief, daydreaming can be valuable for creativity. Researcher Jonathan Schooler found that prolific mind wanderers score higher on creativity tests because our brains make unlikely connections between ideas when not intensely focused. This explains why good ideas often emerge during showers, walks, or drives, activities that engage relaxed attention, a state between meditation and laser focus. Empathy, seeing experiences through others' eyes, drives meaningful innovation. While many businesses reduce customers to data points, empathy-driven design research involves observing people using products in real-world settings. This approach helped PNC Financial Services create Virtual Wallet for Generation Y customers, a visual banking tool that helps users avoid overdraft fees by showing danger days when bills are due. Field observation reveals behaviors people themselves may not recognize. When IDO observed people using ice cream scoops, they noticed users often licked a scoop after serving, something users might deny in interviews, but that revealed the need for a mouth-friendly design without sharp edges. Asking deeper questions accelerates learning. Surgeon Amanda Salmon discovered this when she joined IDO as a medical director. During patient interviews, she initially used her clinical approach. Tell me about your condition. But learned that her teammates' casual conversation style elicited much richer information about the patient's life and feelings. People with creative confidence live in the active voice. They write the scripts of their own lives rather than being passive observers. They believe their actions can make a positive difference, so they act without waiting for perfect plans. John Keefe of WNYC Radio exemplifies this mindset. When hearing about bus riders waiting without knowing when buses would arrive, he created a working prototype service within 24 hours that allowed callers to get real-time bus location information. The first step toward creativity is going beyond passive observation and translating thoughts into deeds. Many people get stuck between wanting to act and taking action, paralyzed by uncertainty. In corporate cultures, this creates what Professors Sutton and Pfeffer call the knowing-doing gap, the space between what we know we should do and what we actually do. Kodak exemplifies this problem. Despite inventing the digital camera in 1975 and understanding photography's digital future, they clung to their chemistry-based business because tradition and fear of failure prevented decisive action. To overcome inaction, five catalysts can help. 1. Get help by hiring someone or recruiting a colleague. 2. Create peer pressure by having someone else in the room to hold you accountable. 3. Gather an audience to talk through your ideas. 4. Do a bad job by suspending judgment and just getting something out there. And 5. Lower the stakes by making the problem less important to reduce decision paralysis. Constraints, rather than limiting creativity, can actually spark innovation and action. When executives are asked what they could accomplish in a week with minimal budget, they generate remarkably creative solutions. Francis Ford Coppola explained how lower budgets allow more creative risks. When filming in Romania required a right-hand drive taxi, he simply reversed the image rather than flying in an expensive prop. Prototyping, creating early working models, forces you to make choices and gives you something concrete to discuss with others. The best failures are quick, cheap, and early, allowing time to learn and iterate. Eric Rice calls this a minimum viable product, the least effort needed to run an experiment and get feedback. Adam Scotts and Coleta Stafford demonstrated the power of ultra-rapid prototyping while developing Elmo's Monster Maker app with Sesame Workshop. When their dance feature idea faced skepticism, they created a prototype just 1 hour before a conference call using a printed, oversized iPhone image mounted on foam core with a cutout screen. Their quick, persuasive video prototype won over the team, embodying Boyle's Law: never go to a meeting without a prototype. Rather than perfecting products behind closed doors, innovative companies launch to learn in the open market, testing ideas early to gain insights for continued iteration. Kickstarter exemplifies this model, helping entrepreneurs test marketability before full commitment, crowdsourcing nearly $500 million for over 35,000 projects in its first 4 years. The tension between personal passion and financial gain affects most career decisions. While money is easier to measure, valuing the heart requires extra effort. Research shows that beyond a certain threshold, money doesn't strongly correlate with happiness. Many people choose prestigious careers that impress others but make them unhappy, what the authors call the "looks good, feels bad" trap. David shares his post-college experience at Boeing, a prestigious job that made his parents proud but left him deeply unhappy. Despite working on 747 jumbo jets, he felt lost among hundreds of engineers and disliked his isolated work on the "lavatory occupied" sign. Yale professor Amy Wersnowski's research identifies three distinct attitudes toward work: seeing it as a job, just paying bills; a career, focused on advancement; or a calling, intrinsically rewarding. The authors emphasize that perception matters more than profession. The same role can be viewed differently by different people. Jim Collins' framework helps identify your sweet spot, the intersection of what you're good at, what people will pay you for, and what you were born to do. To discover what he was born to do, Collins kept a bug called Jim notebook for over a year, recording what made him feel best each day. This self-observation revealed he was happiest working on complex systems and teaching others, leading him to leave HP for academia. After recovering from cancer in 2007, David began using a simple method to improve his life, scoring each day on a scale from 1 to 10 based on how much fun he had. By analyzing patterns with psychiatrist Dr. C. Barr Taylor, he discovered that solitary hours in his studio with music playing significantly boosted his happiness. This simple process led to epiphanies about what truly fulfilled him. Weekend projects, from running clubs to cheesemaking workshops, can energize your entire week and potentially connect to your work life. Ron Volpe's story at Kraft Foods demonstrates this. A small collaborative innovation project with Safeway grew into his role as vice president for supply chain innovation, proving you don't need to leave your company to transform your career. Unleashing creative potential requires the courage to take action. Monica Jerez's transformation at 3M shows this. Despite having no budget, she recorded cleaning videos on her phone that revealed business opportunities, leading to videos from 20 countries. Previously not seeing herself as creative, Monica filed over a dozen patents and doubled her unit's new product vitality index. While individual creativity creates positive impact, true innovation at scale requires teamwork and a nurturing creative culture. Intuit's transformation through Design for Delight, D4D, demonstrates how organizations can systematically build creative confidence across teams. Despite initial executive support, Intuit's innovation initiative stalled in the talking phase until Karen Hansen recruited 9 design thinkers as innovation catalysts to coach teams and spark action. Their early success with the SnapTac mobile app demonstrated D4D principles by delighting customers with unexpected ease. The Catalyst program grew to nearly 200 members, improving customer loyalty metrics and innovation output. 5 key principles foster creative confidence in organizations: keeping your sense of humor, building on others' energy, minimizing hierarchy, valuing team camaraderie and trust, and deferring judgment. At IDEO and the D School, instead of saying "that won't work," team members ask "what would make it better?" or "what new idea does that spur?" maintaining creative momentum through constructive building rather than criticism. The D School employs team teaching to spark multidisciplinary discussions and enhance learning. Unlike traditional teaching, where professors deliver unchanging lectures, D School professors actively challenge each other's ideas, creating lively debates that expose students to multiple viewpoints. This approach forces students to think critically rather than simply accepting a single right answer. JetBlue Airways' recovery from a 2007 customer service disaster illustrates the power of diverse collaboration. After expensive consultants failed to solve their operational problems, JetBlue's Bonnie Simi assembled frontline workers from every department to map their recovery processes. Despite initial skepticism, the team identified over 1,000 issues and formed a task force that improved disruption recovery time by 40%. Working with diverse teams creates valuable creative abrasion, but requires intentional support. 6 principles help nurture creative teams. 1. Know each other's strengths and weaknesses like a band of superheroes. 2. Leverage diversity by embracing difficult conversations. 3. Get personal by bringing your whole self to work. 4. Value relationships beyond just project outcomes. 5. Craft your team experience in advance by establishing principles and goals, and have fun together through activities outside work to improve collaboration. Physical environments significantly impact creative performance. The D School's design principles include keeping people together but not too close, considering acoustic privacy alongside visual openness, adding flexibility in appropriate places, tailoring spaces to specific experiences, and creating atmospheres that encourage experimentation through raw materials and unfinished surfaces. Words shape thoughts and behaviors in innovative cultures. IDEO's preferred phrase, "How might we?" embodies their creative approach. How suggests improvement is possible, might lowers the bar for wild ideas, and we establishes group ownership. Deliberately changing vocabulary can positively influence behavior and nurture innovation. Building creative confidence requires action, not just theory. Specific tools and exercises can help unlock your creative thinking for different innovation challenges. Starting with simple solo exercises before moving to group activities allows you to build momentum gradually. Mind mapping helps generate ideas and gain clarity by charting the recesses of your mind around a central idea. Unlike lists, which capture known ideas, mind maps facilitate unconventional thinking and are particularly valuable early in the creative process when you don't yet know where your thinking will lead. The furthest branches often reveal hidden concepts that wouldn't emerge through linear thinking. Ideas resemble dreams. Both need immediate recording before they fade. Short-term memory holds thoughts for only 15 to 30 seconds, so having a system to capture insights dramatically increases your creative arsenal. Whether using folded paper, lighted pens by your bed, whiteboard markers in your shower, or digital tools like Evernote, the method matters less than having it constantly available. The 30 circles exercise pushes participants to transform circles into recognizable objects quickly, testing their creative fluency. This exercise teaches a key lesson about ideation, balancing speed and quantity of ideas with generating truly different concepts. Having many ideas increases the chances of finding great ones, but only if they're genuinely distinct rather than variations on a theme. Empathy maps help organize field observations that might otherwise feel overwhelming. By creating a four-quadrant map labeled say, do, think, and feel, then populating it with color-coded observations, you can systematically analyze human behavior and identify insights. The final step involves looking for surprises, contradictions, unexpected patterns, or latent needs. The I like, I wish framework provides constructive criticism without triggering defensiveness. Framing feedback as personal opinion helps move listeners away from defensiveness toward objective consideration of alternatives. In creative cultures, sensitively conveyed feedback demonstrates colleagues care enough to speak up, avoiding negative language like, "That will never work." Customer journey maps help systematically analyze all interactions with your product or service. By documenting every step in a process, even seemingly trivial ones, organizing them sequentially, and looking for patterns or surprises, you can identify innovation opportunities beyond your product's narrow definition. The broader you define the customer experience, the more opportunities you'll find. The Dream Gripe Session transforms complaints and wishes into actionable innovation challenges. One partner shares dreams and gripes while the other takes notes, then reframes these into open-ended, "How might we?" questions. Effective questions should be neither too narrow, suggesting a specific solution, nor too broad, stifling idea generation, but should enable someone to easily generate multiple ideas. Everything made by humans involves design decisions, from the layout of grocery stores to the interface of mobile apps. Most people are far more creative than they realize, but societal pressures, educational systems, and workplace norms push us toward appropriate behaviors that stifle this natural capacity. The rewards for embracing creativity, greater impact, personal fulfillment, innovative solutions, and competitive advantage make the effort worthwhile in both professional and personal contexts. Creative confidence isn't gained through reading or thinking alone, but through action, experiencing a series of small successes that build upon each other. Doug Dietz at GE Healthcare exemplifies this transformative journey. After realizing children feared his MRI machines, causing anxiety and requiring sedation in 80% of cases, he redesigned them as pirate ships and space adventures. The Adventure Series scanners reduced sedation rates to under 10% and transformed the medical experience for young patients. Staff reported higher job satisfaction, and hospitals saw improved efficiency and patient outcomes. When introducing creative approaches in traditional companies, several field-tested strategies prove effective. 1. Build on existing processes rather than forcing radical change, such as adding design thinking elements to established project management methods. 2. Double deliver by providing both the expected solution and a creative alternative, allowing decision makers to compare approaches. 3. Apply creative approaches to extracurricular activities, like company events or office redesigns, to build credibility without threatening core operations. And 4. Create dedicated innovation labs or skunkworks teams to nurture creative thinking outside normal constraints while protecting it from day-to-day business pressures. The transformation from fear to creative confidence resembles a child's first slide experience. Initial terror followed by exhilaration and eager repetition. This same pattern appears when managers, scientists, and CEOs complete their first design thinking cycle and emerge with breakthrough ideas. Engineers discover elegant solutions through prototyping. Marketers uncover deep customer insights through empathy work. And executives find new strategic directions through creative exploration. As Ralph Waldo Emerson urged, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." Creativity doesn't require rare gifts or innate talent. It depends on what you believe you can do with the capabilities you already have. By setting specific creative goals, embracing action over analysis, and working within constraints rather than waiting for perfect conditions, you can build momentum toward larger creative achievements. Starting with small, manageable steps, like redesigning a presentation format or brainstorming customer solutions, is the key to unlocking your creative potential and developing lasting creative confidence. As Hungarian essayist Gyorgy Konrád said, "Courage is only the accumulation of small steps." When you unleash creativity, build practical skills through experimentation, and find the courage to share your ideas, work becomes more fun than fun. This transformation leads not only to personal growth, but enables you to discover the power to make your unique contribution to the world, whether through product innovation, process improvement, or cultural change.